Well, we're going to look today, we're going to look at prophecies that Pastor David was used by God to bring forth. And some of the prophecy he started seeing even from the time in the seven churches. And he was able to deliver the full lot of it on 14 November in a special meeting that we had, just call and arrange specially to receive for what we call the Seven Thunders Prophecy. So today, we are looking at the Seven Thunders Prophecy and how it relates to the prophecy in the book of Daniel, the prophecy that Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew 24 and the book of Revelations. And it's important to see the relationship that we have on this Seven Thunders Prophecy as we go. Pastor David was given a glimpse of the future, and in this glimpse of the future, we'll start it way lighthearted first, because I sort of know the Spirit is going to lead into a serious moment, and then we release our prayer. And some of the glimpses that he has of the future was even when he saw part of the future. By future, we're only talking about 10, 20, 30 years. We're not talking very far. And was a little computer that he saw that is just on the wrist. And it looks something like that, the one with the hand computer, the picture with the hand computer. And that is probably about 10 years or 15 years. So not this one, just the picture of the drawing with the zigzag one, just before this one. Yeah. There's one picture. There's one with the, this is the one. Okay. So he has saw this picture. Just this part here. And this part was like a little, with a band that you can clip to your hand. And this was a computer, and it was roughly about, we say it was about 3 to 5 millimeters. CM, not millimeter. CM, millimeter. Okay. 3 to 5 cm, our metric scale. Okay. It was about 3 cm by 5 cm. And that was resting on the wrist of a person, and it's like a watch, and you clip it, and then that is part of the future. And then when he press certain buttons, you're playing around with the buttons, and when you touch certain buttons, and here there are symbols and all that, a keyboard appear, and the keyboard is also like a hologram. It just comes out, and you can, your hand signals goes there, and then so all you see before you press any buttons or just this little thing. Then your keyboard comes out, and then also the screen comes out in the air. And then the screen could also be enlarged like this. So a small screen come out, then can be enlarged like this. And using just hand signals. And so it was also voice activated, and you can talk to the computer. This is almost like Star Trek. And it's like Star Trek one, it's a triangle here. And so you could see different things and do different things. And I did a little bit of research before tonight to see where technology is. I didn't know, even when Pastor Dave was sharing, that they invented keyboards that are like these red color things that you could put and it shines on a table and you could type on a table. And so this is not too far away, apparently. So with this one, we go to just on the original screen. Already at this time, 2012, this year, there's a group of Russians, and remember, Russia is very important to the end times. It's king of the north. And a group of Russians have invented this holographic thing like you saw in a Minority Report thing. And at the moment, the technology uses some sort of fog air. And so, you know how holograms, you need a dark place in order to see it. So they have got some sort of fog air that comes out, and then the projection is somehow into the empty air that is there. It is just still beginning, the new technology, and it's actually quite big in size. And here at the site are some other examples, and the technology is very new. And a lot of, apparently they got big companies under them. When you look under, The inventors are all, these are all 2012 being released. And so as you go down there, you can find they describe it a little bit, and then the people who invented it, every single one is a Russian. Of course, some of them were Russian Jews, and their description is called this player at the moment. Now, we're not sure, in case some of you are thinking of buying this company, we're not sure whether this is the company that actually will make those things or not. Remember that. So, you know, sometimes first technology, the next guy buys you over and all that. In fact, the iPad was first came up by the Apple previously in a Newton or something. Then it failed. And then Microsoft has its own, also failed under the recent one. And so, but just to show you that technology is there. That it's only a matter of time before they shrink the technology. And when you go down all the way just now, and there is this, you see all some of these companies that are there. And then you go further down. These are all young Russians involved. A lot of money has been pumped into this company. And okay, now we go to the next one here. And you see some concept of it. Yes, I think. Okay, this is some sample, and we off this advertising. There's a little X there at the side. Of this advertising. Yes. Okay. So this is where a sample. You see, you can still see a bit of air, but there's with some other things blowing. And it's just exactly like a Minority Report. And they're just using all those. This is what Pastor David saw in action on the thing, probably more steady. And notice the keyboard is also in the air. And so you can handle all those objects. This is a little bit, and this technology is available. They're actually selling the machines right now, and big companies could afford that at the moment. I saw the cost; it was about between 3,000 to 20,000, and so not too bad, affordable for big companies at the moment. And so you can see some of that handling. See, it's exactly like that. You remember those shape? You pull up things and all that, like the iPhone. And so this was released only this year into the public. It was in development stages the past few years and released, but it has become a worldwide release only this year too. Significant. And so we start with a happy note on the invention that is there before we look at some things in the book of in the Bible. So you can see how. Now, you could have put your hand right through because it's just air in front of you. There's nothing else on this. Nothing at all that is there. And this was what I found that is close. I did the other research on other science things also, but we just showed this tonight on some of the things you saw in the future. And you can imagine this whole thing reduced to just a watch. And this is probably just about 10 years away before it reduces in size. And then when I check the Koreans, when I look at the air projection, the Koreans invented about one or 2 years ago, they invented a gadget called the invisible umbrella, made from air. So it's just a stick, and then you press the stick, grows tall, and then there's a knob there that emits air in a circumference. And it's so strong, the air is so steady, that the raindrop cannot get through. Of course, battery failure is gone. And, but they could even adjust, the umbrella, how strong you want. So you go. Yeah, at the moment. It looked like plastic at the moment. And then, and the air was so strong, it formed a perfect circle. You could see raindrops resting on the top of the air. Like an umbrella, it's an invisible umbrella. They could even adjust it to bigger size if they need to cover more people. So the technology of manipulating air, I was just looking at other side areas, and it was just in a stick form. It's called the air umbrella, invented by Koreans. And that was remarkable. the pace of development that we have. Well, that's start us on a happy note. And to see some of the things that are there in the future. But what's happening for us to understand and what's going to happen in the world, I'd like to read the background to how Pastor David was used by God to receive the prophecy. And so we want to praise God for your obedience and Pastor David's obedience in receiving that. And all the prophecies. Pastor David's job is to give himself to receive the prophecy. My job is to do the interpretation with the Bible. So we are complementing one another. But I give credit where credit is due. So these are all the prophecies Pastor David has received in the book of Revelations chapter 10. And there's one part in the Revelation that was a key to interpret the whole Revelation. So tonight, the book of Revelations will be interpreted exactly the way it was meant to. It has been a mystery, and even before Seven Thunders, I have done some interpretation and teaching three times through the book of Revelation, unfolding its mysteries. And many people have done different attempts of symbolic interpretation and various interpretation, but the key to the whole book of Revelation was this little bit in chapter 10. In chapter 10, it says here in verse 1 onwards, let's read the background. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John says, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no delay, that should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. John was asked to not to write down the seven thunders. He was about to write down. And then later on, you see John took the book from the angel and ate it. And then the angel says, you'll prophesy to many nations. And Pastor David had the same experience. And that experience was when you were in Madaba. Was that that? Jordan, yeah, Madaba. And he had the same experience. And he received that little book. The angel was huge. 1 foot on land, 1 foot on sea. And of course, when he gave the book, somehow it was reduced until he saw a hand the scroll, and then Pastor David ate it. And then recently, when it was the timing and the fullness of God, I believe you were also crucial to it, that when we discern that your name was to be Melchizedek, that triggered more things, and that we were ready for it. And the Lord was waiting for us to discern. See, God cannot reveal until we have received. And the revelation is always, as we sang that song, that revelation is progressive. If we never receive step one, you will never receive step two. Never receive step two, you never receive step three. And it's progressive. And because after your name was given, shortly after, everything was accelerated. And I believe we received it pretty early. And it might have been like perhaps later, but because we have been fasting, praying, and all night prayer, that we were more sensitive to it. And when we got it, the archangel spoke to Pastor David and said, get ready to deliver the seven thunders prophecy. This prophecy that was not written in the book of Revelation, because the time has not come. But in our time, it was ready. And when Pastor David on the 14th November delivered the seven thunders prophecy, and when we analyzed it, we realized some parts of it were already received even through the seven churches journey. And it was like him standing as a prophet was especially also to receive these seven thunders. It was important information for the church that was hidden from John the apostle. And John was one of the last apostles alive. And he lived the longest, and he was on the island of Patmos. And it was close to 60-something AD. And so we are talking about nearly 2,000 years have gone by. I know it's less than that, but we're approximating. Nearly 2,000 years have gone by, and no prophet in the church had received the seven thunders. Not even William Branham, not even Kenneth Hagin, not even old prophets of old who have been throughout appearing here and there in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because in the New Testament and church history, until on November 14, 2012. It was our privilege to receive the seven thunders again and be privileged to have it all written down. And tonight we're sharing that because it relates to phase two and phase three that we are doing around the world. And there was a great burden in my heart to deliver this. I think I've sensed the same thing like you sensed on November 12th when you were going to deliver November 14th. And because it was important that this message goes out. And we need to understand it because we're just about also to go to Australia, which plays a very important role in the end times. Very, very important role in the end times. And that's why everything is in the fullness of time. And here we are tonight, heavy broadcast and recorded to the world that this part of the book of Revelation, the seven thunders that has been hidden for 2,000 years, has finally been revealed. And we put together several things. Parts of the seven thunder were already being revealed during the early times of prophecy, during the seven church ages. There was time on the 29th of October, and you saw that is the reason 29 October, November 9 to 29 November. Even the week before the seven thunders, you were shown some things, and we still got some things to look in detail. But even from 13 of February in a vision in Thyatira, there was visions of revival in U.S. and all those things, and we're going to put all this together in a sequence, some of the things, and see the flow of how it goes, and tie all together tonight so we understand what that part. And when you see and hear it, you will understand why it was kept under our time. Because if John had saw it, he would not have been able to deliver it properly. Because the countries don't exist yet. These end time countries do not exist yet in the time of John. And it was just mainly the Asia Minor was a known region. And other regions were all, they're not sure what it was. That's why he just taught the kings of the East and all those things. And he describes the mysteries. Now here, firstly, your background on the book of Revelations. From the knowledge of the book of Revelations, we know that the book of Revelations cover roughly the last week of tribulation. The last week of tribulation, for those of you who have not been up to it on your knowledge or prophecy, Daniel prophesied 70 weeks from the time of Daniel until the Messiah comes. And then it says there will be 69 weeks and 69 weeks of years. So 69 times 7 weeks of years from the return and the command to rebuild Jerusalem until the time that the Messiah appeared. The Messiah came. Jesus, his first coming came. There was one last week of Daniel that was not fulfilled called the last 7 years or the tribulation week. The last 7 years are more or less clues are given in the book of Revelation. When you talk about 42 months, 42 months divided by 12 is 3.5 years. When you talk about 1,260 days divided by 360, giving a rough 360 round year, you have still have 3.5 years. So the word 3.5 years is hidden inside. And when it says a time, times, and half a time, it's 1 year plus 2 years plus half a year. And so these are the standard prophetic interpretations that are very well established among scholars and prophetic students. So the book of Revelations, roughly, from chapter 1, where Jesus manifested himself, right up to chapter 3, is a time when it was a message to the seven churches, and it was a judgment in the church. Jesus was doing house cleaning. Judgment begins in the church of God, similar to the seven thunders in these last days. The first part of the seven thunders prophecy was judgment in the church. And then from chapter 4, when John was taken up, that was simultaneous to the rapture in the church. And then from chapter 5 onwards, then the scroll was opened, you began the 7 year, last years of tribulation. So basically, most of Revelation from chapter 6 onwards, right until the coming of Jesus in Revelation 19 on a white horse, cover the 7 years. And all that goes in between, all those things that will happen on the earth. And so this roughly the rough map of the book of Revelations in terms of where it stands. In the prophecy, you notice God always deals with his church before he deals with the world. Similar in the seven thunders prophecy, there is a warning about what happens in the church. And so here in the book of Matthew chapter 24, to put us to the place where we are in prophecy today and in the building of the altars of phase 2 and phase 3 around the world, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus did point to the prophecy of Daniel in verse 15. He says that. In verse 15 he says, therefore when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Now the abomination of desolation occurs in the middle of the tribulation years. So that would mean there were 3.5 years there, and then there were 3.5 years before. And so if that was in verse 15, the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist show his true color, before that he come as a false Messiah. Sadly, the Jews are going to accept him. Because the Jews today do not accept Jesus as a Messiah, with the exception of the Messianic Jews who accept Jesus Christ. But the Jews as a whole are still looking for their Messiah. And when the Antichrist comes as their Messiah, they're going to accept him for the first couple of years. Until he began to show his true color, then they will have to flee like the woman fleeing into the wilderness in chapter 12 of Revelations. And so if chapter 24 verse 15 is the middle of the tribulation, we realize that just before that would be some sort of church age. And where did the church age end? In verse 14, we are still preaching the gospel. Then verse 14 is before the tribulation. Definitely before the tribulation. And so it says in verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom. There you go. Now, I believe this gospel will still be preached after the rapture among the multitudes who still need to hear the gospel by a different group of people. And in verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So apparently, this building of the altar and this preaching of the gospel, not the normal evangelical gospel, but the fullness of the gospel with signs and wonders accompanying. Where Jesus told the Jews that if I don't do the signs that I do, you don't have to believe in me. Jesus even told them that. But he says, if I do the signs, then he says, if you cannot believe me, believe at least because of the signs that he does. Because it's time of signs and wonders. The Antichrist is about to come with signs and wonders too. So the church will have to come with signs and wonders. And there will be a whole group. We are involved in verse 14. In the fullness of this move of God, we will be involved in sending tens of thousands, if not even hundreds of thousands, if not even millions around the world in team. Jesus sent two by two throughout all of Israel. We might be sending two by two, by threes, by fours, by small groups all over the world. The world will be our parish. That's why the altars are built around the world. And that's going to happen. But where are we in the time span? We are coming near to verse 8. In verse 8 it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The world is coming near to the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. And what we are about to share to you about the seven thunders, it is actually the beginning of sorrows. And if you think the world is going to be the same in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you are dead wrong. We are living in the generation that will see things that no other generation has seen before. And the rest of the verses, most of you are familiar with: nation rising against nation, famine, pestilence, earthquake in various places. Those have been quoted many times before. So we'll give first the overall seven thunders prophecy and the visions that Pastor David has brought forth. We'll deliver it with a map. And Pastor David, when he was delivering, he got messages to the churches, seven churches everywhere. We will bring it in line. But I want us to see this map, and we'll try to, we'll leave the map for some time up there. Yes. Thank you. As you see, this is a world map. During the delivery of the seven thunders, Pastor David was just deep in visions. And he was just caught up, and we are just recording everything that took place. And the world map came before you after all the messages to the churches, which I will look at afterwards. And Pastor David saw coming from this direction towards Europe, he saw a serpent coming in this direction. And it landed somewhere in this place here. Here is where Spain and Portugal is. And when the serpent traveled from this direction to that place here, he saw the serpent head came out, and the serpent head dropped somewhere near India, Bangladesh. And then when he dropped here, he saw about 20 dogs. The dogs looked like Rottweiler dogs, but with lion head. What color were the dogs? Black dogs. And then the dogs ate up the serpent head. And then the dogs wanted to eat more and came all the way where the serpent, trying to come where the serpent landed. And as the serpent was traveling here, there were 10 pairs of eyes watching. These 10 pair of eyes represent the 10 toes of Daniel, the 10 nations that will rise. Some of them exist, but they haven't grew into 10 yet. And so these 10 pair of eyes were watching the serpent and watching all that's happened. When the dogs wanted to eat more and came near this area, the 10 pairs of eyes became 10 tigers, black tigers with white stripes. Gray stripes. Look like zebra otherwise. Okay. And gray stripes. And so they attacked the dogs. And after, as they fought, some of the tigers were injured. Two of the dogs died. And then the dogs went all the way back to the east. And then he saw various other things. Now, where we are is the beginning of sorrows. He saw various things happen in Africa, where he saw floods happening all over the world, and things look different, the world looks different. And then he saw Russia expanding And this is where the Russia expands its border all the way down towards this area. China expands its border covering all the way here, right to Singapore. And in his early prophecy from the seven churches, he saw this area here, which I have got it down here from the early prophecies. When you were in Thyatira on the 13th of February, 2012. Now, bear in mind, on the 9th of February, the glory of Pergamos was shown. And when I look at all these prophecies, everything happened after Pergamos. Pergamos was very important. And on the 13th of February, while Pastor David was still in Thyatira, which is somewhere in Turkey, seven churches are in Turkey, he saw a vision of five pillars being pulled down and five replacing it. And he saw revival begin. Now, these red spots are places where we are going to build the altar, and these two places we have finished two altars. So we have finished in Singapore, this little altar here. And then Malaysia, we just finished and came back. So we got these two red spots. We are about to go to Australia, build an altar there. And then New Zealand, be an altar there. Then, as just now he was announcing, we're going to go to Korea, build an altar there. And then Shenzhen, China, build an altar there. That completes phase two. And then after that, we're going to travel to Canada, Toronto, build an altar there. And then build an altar in two places here. There is New York and Washington, Washington DC. And then after that, we're going down here to Brazil, build an altar here. Argentina, build an altar there. Oh, no, no, we're going to go to Europe first. Here, down here first. And then after that, we go to London, build an altar there. And then Greece, build an altar there. And we will end up in Cape Town. Then we do, Cape Town. And then we finish. Then we will go to Madaba for a break. And so these places are important. And as you look at this world map here, on the 13th of February 2012, Pastor David saw five pillars pulled down, five replacing it. The five pillars represent all the old fivefold. All the old fivefold will be removed. And in fact, there will be judgment in the church. And the judgment in the church on the 9th of 14th November, these are some of the things that are pronounced upon existing churches. And it tells us basically it's a call to holiness. And tells us some of the things were, hear the word of God, let you walk in the fear of his word and the fear of the Lord. And then he saw heaven open. And saw as a babe, Jesus died on the cross, Jesus being risen up, and then the glory at Pergamos. And then he say, saw Jesus, the Lord coming with a sword. And this time, the judgment is to the church first. Judgment must begin in the house of God. The Lord coming as a sword. These are all the five pillars falling down. And many will die. Some pastors might even die in the pulpit. Some will die just suddenly. Ministers will all die. Now, not all. Some of them might be faithful, whatever. But those that need to be removed will be removed. And it has already begun. In the spirit, it has already begun. Angels have been released. And don't forget that the code name, Archangel Shama, was the same archangel who was in charge of bring the 10th plague on Egypt. He descended with a whole host of angels with drawn swords. And in one night, every firstborn, from Pharaoh right down to the slave, except for the Israelites who have the protection of the blood, right to every animal that was firstborn, died in one night. So don't think that God cannot do it. When God starts doing this thing, it will be like probably people falling down like flies. And not only leaders, But Christians were compromises, and people who have been told by the Lord to walk carefully, there will be, in fact, in this prophecy, the Lord sets a dividing line in the church. Those who are truly His from those who are not His. The Laodicean church, Jesus was outside in Revelation chapter 3. He was knocking on the door and wanting to come in. We are in the Laodicean church age. Among the prophecies delivered to the church, tells us here, and this is Pastor David's words, Pastor David saw the Lord coming with a sword, many will die. Judgment will come with His coming. No mercy will be shown to those who have turned against Him. He shall bind everything, all evil, all rebellious one, at one stroke they will all be cast into the fire. I see the fire again, I see the gnashing of teeth, the cries of mercy, but then mercy will not be given. And then he also saw Jesus bringing gifts and rewards to those who have been walking faithful in Him. And here's the passage for the church. Like Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the first part of the seven thunders prophecy was for the church. Judgment must begin in the church. It says, let this fear, Pastor David declare, let this, the prophet declare, let this fear reign in the heart of His people. Let the fear of God be in your heart. Be of one mind. Do not quarrel among yourselves, for God will judge it. The glorified Son of God will return with judgment. Judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. O Lord, let thy people see your glory. And the glory you had with the Father from the very beginning. Let thy people see your glory. And Christ shall be established in this earth. His name shall be upon the lips of His people. This is the word of the Lord. Walk in righteousness. Walk in holiness. This is what he wrote. And then Pastor David bent down and wrote on the ground. It happened to be here. And only Yahweh is righteous. Only Yahweh is holy. So any of you who think that you're super holy, super righteous, remember, you're righteous and holy because of the grace of God. And because of the covering of the holiness of Jesus upon you. There is none righteous, but only God. There is none that is holy, only God. Therefore, walk in righteousness and be holy and you shall be saved. Now the five pillars coming down, all this part. And these are the words of the prophet, he says, I smell the stench of the church. I smell the smoke of the stench of the church. The church is like a harlot even now, prostituting itself with the desire of the world. I see the corruption in the churches. Behold, the foundations are rotten. Behold, each are looking after themselves. Behold, there is so much quarrel, so much strife. This is a stench I smell. Repent, repent. For judgment will begin in the house of God. The five pillars will come down. And say, say not to another person that he or she is wrong. Only Yahweh is righteous. Only Yahweh is holy. Everyone else is a sinner. Repent, for the sword of the Lord knows no man or woman except those who walk in righteousness and holiness. Five pillars coming down. Sweep clean the house of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord to return. I see dirt and slime in the church. Sanctify yourself, O ye church. I see the hidden desire of men and women. There is no fear of the Lord. Everyone seeking after his own. Don't you see that your righteousness is like filthy rags? Repent. Hear this, and it says the angels, speak this word to the church. The stench has reached my nose. My church is not ready. The bride for my son is like a harlot. Sanctify them. Remove. Remove those who are walking in unrighteousness, who still persist in their sins. Remove those. Remove the leaders who only serve themselves, but not serve the Lord. Remove them. This is the removing of the five pillars. Represent apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who are alive today, who are not walking in the perfect will of God. And continue here. This is the day that the Lord is coming. His fire is coming to refine and burn away all the stench. And I hear cries, moaning because of those who die suddenly. Fear the Lord and give glory to His name, for the day of His judgment has come. What is this I see? I see a remnant. I see a remnant people who fear the Lord. Strengthen them. strengthen these people. Now, these are the five pillars that are being raised up. Let my church arise from them, for they are pure of heart and in spirit. They walk in my truth, says the Lord. Raise them up to be the bride for my son. See, we are being prepared for the coming of our Lord. Oh, there will be so much death because the judgment of the Lord has come. Diseases will fall on them. They will rot from within and there will be many tears and cry. But for many, it's not too late. Speak the word of the Lord to these people. Now, this word is going forth today. It's still not too late. There's still room to repent. But there will be a time when the door is closed. And judgment has to begin. This is the last warning. And those who defy this word, they'll be accountable to the Lord. And five pillars are being removed. And that's when the gospel was going forth. And he said, let my gospel bring forth. That's the part that ties to the gospel going forth. Here in this map, some of the things that were seen, Pastor David, and going back to the 13th of February 2012, he saw five pillars being pulled down, five replacing it. That's the remnant rising up. The old one all removed. The judgment all falling. Judgment is going to fall harshly. Remember this. This is the last and final word going forth. If you do not get your life right, it is time to get it right. And after that, after, I believe, after phase 2 and 3, that's it. That's it. So there's still room. While we're going around building altars, while we're doing phase 2 and phase 3, there is still this period of grace. But this is the last warning. For some, they might already cross over, where judgment has already been begun. And on February 13, 2012, five pillars pulled down, five replaced. On that day, you saw a revival in U.S. that began in the southeastern area, probably around here, close to where we built the altar here, and north, south, east, west. So somewhere around here. And so the revival began here, and it spread to the whole country. Spilled over into Mexico, South America, and then the revival also moved up to Canada. So for those of you in U.S., remember that. Now, for those of you in U.S., let me remind you also of a prophecy of Kenneth E. Hagin, who has gone home to be with the Lord. Kenneth Hagin, in his book, I Believe in Vision, among the first visions that he had of Jesus when he was kneeling down and the Lord said, come up here. He saw a scroll. On the scroll, he read the judgment over U.S. So your own U.S. citizen, prophet, has already prophesied over your nation. Read that book again, I Believe in Visions, by Kenneth E. Hagin. Inside contains the final warning for U.S. by your own prophet whom God has raised up. And in that book, it mentioned, this is the last call. America was receiving its last call. And then in that passage, it says, many nations have already received their last call, and it's over. And at the time when Kenneth Hagin was having that vision, there is, if you trace the date, I believe that was in the 1950s. That was the last call. And so judgment has begun, but in the mercy of God, there is one last revival that is coming forth, that begins in this area, southeastern area, spreads all over here, spreads from Mexico down to South America, and part of it went to Canada. And that was the vision that Pastor David had on 13 February 2012. A revival that moved up to Canada here. In the end. And at the same time, as we look at the world as it happens, as it is, what is this serpent that is traveling from this side to this side. Well, beasts and serpents always talk about countries and nations. And something is going to happen. And it comes from here, the United States. U.S., as I examine the seven thunders prophecy, I realize now why John, the apostle, could not receive it. Because the nations don't exist. Interpretation would be very difficult. But with the seven thunders prophecy, some things have fallen into place. Then we meet to the book of Revelations. In the book of Revelations, actually everything was completed in Revelations chapter 11, and the kingdom of God has come. And then chapter 12, 13, 14 was a reprise, where he starts looking at different things again. And so everything finished by chapter 11. Then he reprised it again. See, the Bible sometimes does that. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, God created man and woman in the image of God. He blessed them, be fruitful and multiply. Then in chapter 2, he reprised how he created man again. But in detail, he actually created man first, the animals, and then later he found a helpmate for man and he created Eve. So the details were given later. But if you don't have chapter 2, you might just jump to chapter 3 and say, hey, you know, you thought they were created at the same time. But the details were given in chapter 2. And then the temptation in chapter 3 of Genesis. So in the same way, chapter 11 was finished. So chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 was a reprise, looking at the details of some of the things that were going to take place. And then chapter 19, Jesus came on a white horse, and that was his second coming. So in chapter 18, chapter 17, there is chapter 17 and 18 is the mystery of the scarlet woman on a scarlet beast. And when John was looking at that time, nearly 2,000 years ago, he marveled at this mystery, because as he is looking at this woman, he marveled with amazement in verse 6. He's so amazed by this beast in verse 6, chapter 17, verse 6. He saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was not, is not, and was sent out of the bottomless pit, and go to perdition. And those who dwell in the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life on the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was, is not, and yet is. Now these beasts represent the empires of the world. And we have thought about that, because in John's time, in verse 10, he says there are seven kings. The ten horns are separate. The seven kings represent seven empires. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has yet to come. And so we have that all these empires have to do with Israel. And so you have from the time of Israel, countries that have dominated them, and we have taught on that before, is found in Foundation Truth, Volume 14. I believe we talked, did we mention that? Oh, Second Coming Teaching. And so we talk about the Assyrian Empire that has come against the Israelites, and then Egyptian Empire, and then after that was, they have their own empire after under King David and Solomon. Then afterward, the first empire that came against them was the Babylonian Empire. After the Babylonian Empire, which Daniel was a prophet at that time, you had the Medo-Persian Empire. And then after the Medo-Persian Empire, you have the Greek Empire. These are the five empires that were behind John. When John was alive, he was under the sixth empire, the Roman Empire, that came after the Greece Empire, the Greek Empire. So he was under the Roman Empire, which he says now is. See, five empires were behind. And then he says, another is yet to come. And the last empire will be the one that is under the Antichrist. In a sense, the Antichrist. The seven. And at the same time, he's going to be the eight. In verse 11. the beast that was and is not is himself, so the eighth, and it's of the seven, and is going to perdition. So the beast will rule with a ten, and then after that he will conquer three of the ten and have another one over it. So the beast is both seven and eight. But in his empire, he was number seven. And so that's a general interpretation accepted by most scholars up to this time. But still you have the mystery of Babylon, the mother of harlots. How the empire evolved until today. What it represents. The Greek and Roman influence have continued on our modern world. The foundations of democracy on which the world is built has its roots in Greek democracy. You have in the book of Daniel, cross-reference to the book of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, it talks about the ten toes of Nebuchadnezzar. In his dream, the king saw an image, and for him, it started with him as the golden head, the Medo-Persian Empire. But let's look at his dream in chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2. So the king saw himself as the golden head, the Babylonian Empire. Then he saw this image that represents all the empires up to the ten toes. In verse 37, I look at Daniel's interpretation. This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are king of kings. So Daniel's time was the Babylonian Empire. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength. Then in verse 39, after you shall arise another kingdom, inferior to yours. That's a Medo-Persian Empire. Strangely, they got the same citadel, and they make use of the same headquarters, and Daniel ended up also a minister in the Medo-Persian Empire. Then there's a third kingdom of bronze. After the Medo-Persian Empire is a Greek Empire. And third kingdom of bronze shall rule over all the earth. Then verse 40, and the fourth kingdom, which is the Roman Empire that came after the Greek Empire, shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and the toes partly of clay, partly of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. As the toes of the feet were partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong, partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of man, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And finally, in those days, God will set up his kingdom, that Jesus will come, the big stone that came and knocked on the ten toes and the whole statue fall. That is the coming of Jesus in Revelation 19. But here in this image, the ten toes represent the ten horns as well, and they are the same group. Ten toes, ten horns, and they represent the final conglomerate of nations, partly clay, partly iron, because it's all based on democracy. Democracy is weak, yet is strong. So there is that mixture, and this is a prediction up to our end time today. And so, with that in mind, since we're in the book of Daniel, might as well look at the next part of the book of Daniel. And Daniel has several other visions that again recount the beasts and the different things that are there. In chapter 7, he has the visions of the four beasts. And the four beasts, again, this time, it talks again of the same scenario. The first beast represents the Babylonian Empire. The second beast represents the Medo-Persian Empire. Third beast, the Greek Empire. Fourth beast, the Roman Empire. In chapter 8, he saw the whole scenario of the ram and the goat. The ram represents the Medo-Persian Empire. The goat represents the Greek Empire in detail. And he saw how the goat, which is Alexander the Great, and conquering very fast in chapter 8 verse 9. so that it traveled towards a glorious land and its feet hardly touched the ground. But yet, it was broken early and sort of it didn't live long. And in fact, the Jews know this prophecy, and the historical record is when Alexander the Great was marching into Israel, that night before he marched into Jerusalem, he had a dream. He dreamt of a strange-looking man with a turban and a whole sort of a garment approaching him with a scroll. And that very day when he marched into Jerusalem, the high priest dressed up in his full garment. And he has these 12 stones here, his turban. He brought a scroll. And he went to meet Alexander the Great. And he showed Alexander the Great Daniel chapter 8. And he says, this was talking about you. Because of that, Alexander spared Jerusalem. He was astounded that God predicted his coming. Because the priest didn't tell him he lived very short. The horn will be broken very early. But all this has its interpretation. And in chapter 7 of Daniel, which shows the four beasts, which is the Roman Empire, it shows in verse 24, the 10 horns are 10 kings, which will arise from this kingdom. Now remember, these 10 horns, 10 kings are the same as the 10 toes. And the same 10 horns that you see again in Revelation chapter 17 and chapter 18. But Daniel tells us something happened to this 10 horn. In verse 24, there was a fight between the 10 horns because one of the 10 horns is the beast. See, there are 10 horns in verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise on this kingdom. Another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. So the Antichrist will come and subdue 3 of the 10 horns. And it says in verse 25, he will speak pompous words against God, persecute the saints, and intend to change times and seasons. And in fact, he was allowed, in verse 27, some authority. The angels are restrained to allow him some leeway before Jesus comes and throws him into the lake of fire. And this is definitely talking about the Antichrist. But then when you look over at the book of Revelation, chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, we have this woman and this beast. Now we know what the 7 kings represent, the empires, and or the flow of empires, and all merged together in the image of this woman, this harlot. And this woman probably looked like something like what you see some of the beasts that the demons come together and oppose and actually can split into little ones, little demons or little evil spirits. But you notice something about this woman. And again, in verse 12, in John's time, John was told, Revelation 17 verse 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, because these 10 nations do not exist in John's time. My friends, they exist in our time. And we'll tell you what some of these 10 horns are that we have identified. But they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beasts. So the beasts will be involved in them rising to power. They are of one mind. They will give their power and authority to the beasts. They will make war with the lamb, and the lamb will overcome. So obviously, they are on the side of the beast. But here's the strange thing. The 10 horns are attacking the harlot. Look at that in verse 15 and 16. The waters which you see, we saw where the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So it really interprets for you what it means. The whole harlot represents the confluence of empire. And in the world, this is a setting about the human race. The world always needs an empire. Might be good, might be bad, but you know, somebody will have to be number one. Whether it be King Nebuchadnezzar, or you know, or Darius the Mede, or Cyrus the Persian, or Alexander the Great, or Genghis Khan, or you know, the or at one time there was the Turkish Empire that was there. The world is filled with world conquerors, people who want to be number one. Napoleon wanted to be the number one. They all emulate and want to be a Caesar on this earth. The world had people with world ambitions to be the ruler of the world, because the Antichrist succeeded just in a small speck of time. But the interesting thing is, we all know that in our time, in the 20th century, and at this beginning part of the 21st century, the two greatest empires after Portugal, Spain, was England and United States. The good thing about England and United States is they had some Christian tradition. And God did use these great nations. And although many of us, we realize when the United States threw the Bible out, they began to descend. But let's not forget the good that they did have done. They sent out lots of missionaries, England as an empire. And when England was strong, the gospel also went forth. Just like Roman Empire, Paul made use of that. But England had a Christian tradition. So too did the United States. We thank God for these great nations of the world. Every empire that put its foot on Babylon has always been the beginning of the end for them. From the time of Babylon. You see, Babylon represents something in its physical place as well as its spiritual stature. Even today, the word Babylon is used of empires that are anti-God in the book of Revelation. And look at it. You trace from the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, which is the golden head, where he set his whole empire from Babylon itself. The next king, Empire Medo-Persian, was also, to a certain extent, the citadel was still used in Babylon. And then Alexander the Great, that came under the Medo-Persian Empire, he also went through Babylon. But he also died after that. That was his maximum. The Roman Empire, they conquered, expanded, they also reached to the glorious land, Israel, and also Babylon. And since the Roman Empire, we've been watching. The world has gone to different periods, and there was the period of the church. It was the period of the church age. Holy Roman Empire. And then it became very corrupt. And Inquisition. Things done that were non-Christian, that were not in line with Christian principles, we realized. So when we look back at our history, you know, Christianity has not always played a good guy either. Not true Christianity, but a form of Christianity using the name of Christ. But since then, we also realize that in the end, England became the bulwark of Christianity, and God blessed them as a nation, and they became a world empire. And after that, the United States. Now, among the First World War and Second World War, part of the battle fight also was revolving around the area, the Middle East, including Babylonian area. And even though they may have won, but when they stepped into Babylon, that was the zenith of the empire. And after the Second World War, England began to lose its influence. Remember those days when we count international currency by the pound? United States dollars began to take and rise. And the U.S. has played their role. They sent a lot of men of God, published a lot of good teaching, spread out. But we realized that it was also receiving its last call at that time in Kenneth Hagin's time. And when the United States, for the first time, went into Babylon, it was in Iraq in the 70s. That was a completion of the cycle. That's when the empire and the influence begins to change. That means it's a bell curve. And that's when you begin to come down. This harlot that represents when the 10 horns attack the harlot, and you see here in chapter 18, there was a great cry that went out. Babylon the Great, in verse 2, has fallen. All these things have happened. And with great respect and thankfulness for all that good Christians that are living in that country and the good that the nation has done for the world, Babylon and harlot in this book of Revelations refers to the United States. We will live to see these 10 horns eat up the harlot. One of the greatest events is going to take place. And you had another vision, which I didn't record, about bread and all that growing smaller and smaller. Things are going to happen until this whole place here is going to take place. And the serpent, which represents the empires of the world, will shift to the European sector. That shift is going to take place in our time. Let me fast forward, since we're talking about the United States, to some of the prophecies that you spoke on the seven thunders. I'm giving it in a more chronological order. On the United States. And here you mention it. I see the serpent coming from the west, with fur on his skin, moving eastwards. Moving towards the north. This is called the north. Moving towards the north. I see eyes watching the serpent, exactly like I described. And the tiger with black stripes, and the dogs that came, the head that fell here. And the world will see great warfare again. Great warfare again. There will be great warfare in the lands of the west, in the north, and in the east. You notice something? This part never touch. Great sound like not the Holy Ghost. Now you begin to see more and more important. And then it says here, I see the sea turn to blood. This is a seven thunders prophecy. I see the lands burning with fire. But I see the west empty with life. In the midst of all this, I see the spirits of the air, the foul spirits hidden from the world, plotting the ruin of the world. They want the world to be at war. They want everything to be destroyed. But above them are the holy angels waiting for the command of God to execute judgment and to stop them. But for season, they are allowed to. And in this prophecy, I see gold turning into rust, silver into lead. I see farms failing. Now, gold turning into rust, silver into lead, that's uselessness of those things. Not literally. But I see farms failing, that's literal. I see good land turning into dry, dusty land. The West is impoverished. Remember your vision of the bread loaf growing smaller and smaller. Pastor David had another view, great look, growing smaller and smaller, impoverished. The West, the lands fail. Water stopped running. There's great hardship in the land. The North became the strongest. So, in terms of the prophecy here, that's the serpent moving away. The whole empire going away towards this direction. It's going to lose its world status. Something is going to take place here. But it might involve China. Because, and the kings of the east, which are mentioned in the book of Revelations 2. So, the nearest event to us is we see the serpent moving this direction. And at the same time that you saw the serpent moving, also some of your prophecies speak about the gospel and all that. And so at the same time, while we're still building altars around, the serpent already moving. And the head which represents is given away, the headship. When the head is broken, like the headship given, temporarily, there's 20 dogs. I believe 20, each one symbolizing a province of power in those regions. Around 20, it was not exactly, it did not have a head count. Was it exactly 20? Not really, just all packed. Looks like around 20. And came here, and so the domination, there will be a domination of the Eastern power coming forth. Now, at the same time, these are still watching, because in his vision, if you take it chronologically, the 10 eyes are still watching. Remember? The 10 eyes are still watching. Which means that the first thing that will take place is these 10 eyes are growing in power. While something is about to happen from here to here, and then the East is going to come here and have some sort of a head shape, but not the whole, because it didn't eat. It wanted to have more power, but it was stopped by the 10 toes, the 10 horns. When will these things take place? Separately, in a different vision, when Pastor David was in phase one and he went to Russia, of all places, God tell you to go to Russia. In Russia, it was revealed to Pastor David that there were two fallen angels locked up somewhere here, Siberia. Fallen angels. There are four fallen angels locked up somewhere in the Middle East. Now, let me locate the Middle East. Iraq here, somewhere here. Those four fallen angels are the ones in, let's talk about the four in somewhere in Iraq where they're locked up underneath there. Are the ones that are found in the book of Revelation chapter 9, verse 15, 14 and 15. Saying to the sixth angel who had a trumpet, release the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. For the four angels who have been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. These are four fallen angels in the Bible. Mentioned that they are locked up where the river Euphrates is. That's where Iraq is today. Iraq, by the way, Iraq, Iran, those areas, Iraq, is where Babylon is, of all things. Where did these four fallen archangels came from? Bible doesn't tell you, but we have extra biblical revelation, which does not contradict the Bible. They came during the war of the heavens above, when the satanic rebellion against God. This earth was some sort of headquarters possibly for Satan. And in the war, eons ago, during the war of Satan, which is mentioned in the Bible, the war is also mentioned, remember, the dragon with a tail that knocked down one third of the stars. It's also in the book of Revelation. So it's in that war of angels are angels and Satan leading a rebellion against God. Some of his generals or big powerful angels that have fallen with him try to strengthen whatever rebellion he has on earth. And one of them came at first. That was from some planet, the whole lava and all that. And he's in charge of an entire planet. The moment he came near, we have the good archangels like Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Uriel. They would just go, shoo, shoo, lock them up. In this very place, Euphrates. And then possibly 1,000 years later, then another one tried to come. Another come. Separated over thousands or hundreds of years. That's how you got four of them down there. Their original plan to come here was to strengthen Satan's rebellion. Maybe establish a headquarters on the earth. Who never know? You know, every rebellion needs a headquarters. But they were prevented. But for a short time during the tribulation, they're going to be released when Satan is at his fullest under the Antichrist. You see how God only permit them that short period for a short time. You can imagine how horrifying they will be. Now, those are the four mentioned in the Bible. The two that are mentioned here are not in the Bible. And they were locked up. I did ask you when they were locked up. During the time of the days of Enoch or somewhere. During Noah's time. And they might have already been on the earth. And they were involved in the rebellion of the earth. I remember the fallen angels that come, some of them in chapter 6, intermarried with humans and produced giants and all kinds of. And the whole earth was so wicked. You thought we have seen wickedness, we haven't. Because those two fallen angels here have been locked up since the time of Enoch and before Noah, when God judged the whole earth. That far back. So all the evil you have seen on the earth since Noah's time until today is nothing compared to what was really there in pre-Noah's time. But these two fallen archangels are going to be released for a short time in the church age. In the Jewish age, you got the four, we got the two here. And originally, when we were looking at the rough timing, remember, rough timing is our interpretation and calculation, which can be wrong. But the prophecy stands by itself. It doesn't give any timing. And it was said that it was close to Pastor David's cycle and my cycle. My cycle is 10 years, 10 years, 10 years. My ministry is measured by 10 years. Every 10 years is a different thing. Pastor David's cycle is 13 years. It is when both our cycles match. And the closest match that we have calculated is 2025 to 2026. That is close to when those two monsters here are going to be released. You haven't seen what the world will be like when they are released. And before the Seven Thunders prophecy, Pastor David was again taken in vision by the archangel who was in charge of holding the two fallen angels here. And Pastor David was taken by the angels, and he came to this area in the spirit to where they were bound. And the archangel said, as he stood there, "The ice is melting now. There will come a time when it will drop increase 3 degrees. Then the fallen angels will be released." So we got a second clue. And recently, environmentalists and scientists are discovering that the earth is warming up more rapidly. And about a week ago, they came to the conclusion that the earth will warm up by another 4 degrees. It was publicized all over the place. Here the message was given just 1 week before during the week before 14th of November, which was just a week ago or so, that when the temperature warmed up another 3 degrees, the fallen archangels are going to be released. Now, when you look at this and the serpent coming in this direction, we will have completed. Because we're completing all this altar building in the next 2 years. We've done our job. Here, if we calculate 2025 to 2026, we are about 12, 13 years away. We're about 12, 13 years away from that time. What will the world be like in the next 12, 13 years? Well, obviously, something dramatic has happened on the earth, because there were other prophecies that Pastor David had, and I'll read some of them. And among these prophecies, on 21st February 2012, when Pastor David was in Sardis, he saw civil war breaking out in China. And then a coalition of three countries, France, England, and Germany, making war with Russia. They advanced rapidly and captured Moscow and many other cities. But then Russia recovered, struck back, eventually conquered these three great nations. And they sought peace with Russia. When will this take place? Well, we'll look at it. And then the next part. While in Jordan on 9th of March 2012, he saw a black spider grew strong and began to trample on the nations in Europe. It shook itself and its hair fell on the surrounding nations. Now, the spider looks like it was standing where Italy was. Italy, I guess, is somewhere here, right? It looked like the spider stands somewhere in the center here and then shook itself. And some nations banded together to resist, but many surrendered. I saw Greece and Turkey contending and at war. And surrounding nations took sides. Turkey and Greece at war. And surrounding nations took sides. Israel was drawn into the conflict too. When will that happen? Okay. We'll be answering the when afterwards. See, these visions all done come randomly. On 17 February 2012, Pastor David was in Turkey in Philadelphia Church. He saw visions of earthquakes in the west of Turkey. Oh, let's see, where's Turkey? Ah, right here, Turkey's here. In the western section, he saw earthquakes causing great lives and properties and wars in the western border. He got visions of war. And while Jesus in Matthew 24 talked about wars and rumors of war, those are just rumors of war and war. This is real war that is being seen. And then on 9th of March 2012, Pastor David saw a different spider. The spiny spider laid eggs, and the offspring grew and went to all the nations in the Middle East and Africa and caused wars and death. So there's another spiny spider, and this time the first one went to here in Europe. The second spider goes to the Middle East here and goes here. And it says, it says here that in the end it make its headquarters in Saudi Arabia. And in the seven thunders prophecy, Pastor David saw Africa. All kinds of things happening in Africa. You see, the fires, all these things. And all these countries here, many, many countries in the whole Africa, becoming just eight countries. Just eight. So there's going to be a lot of wars. And South Africa, which is just here, becoming that large, that big. So you can see the wars that are taking place. The question in your heart and mind is, when will this take place? The seven thunders have given us a clue. And I talk about it. Now, let me add other things that he saw. On 26 February 2012, praise God, prophet, you really got a lot of visions to put together. We are doing all the stitching together tonight. But very important prophecy. Take this prophecy, yay again, because this is about the future of the world and is measured not in centuries, it's measured in decades.
Of course, some of you are thanking God. Phew, decade. Hey, decade, very short. You should thank God it's not measured in years. Decades. And we're talking very soon. And on 26 February 2012, in Laodicea, Pastor David saw strange sea creatures crawling up the coastlines of Middle Eastern countries. And then strange fowls making nests in Middle Eastern countries. All these strange creatures began to devour the people of the Middle East. And out of fear, these people began to make sacrifices of these creatures and to graven images of these creatures and worship them to appease them. And in the same time, he saw the character of the beast, the Antichrist. He had a seductive character. He has great persuasive powers and deceitful powers and was able to deceive many. And the maker of the beast, he was both Jewish, Christian, Muslim, everything. And all combined together. And he was able to please everyone. Same time as he saw that. And then in a vision, same dates, Pastor David saw a great fire started along the border of Egypt and Israel. Now, locating Israel here. Egypt is here. Israel just here, this little piece of land here. And it spread almost to Jerusalem. But then suddenly a heavy rain poured down and quenched the fire, and the fire died. These are some of these visions here. And then there were new ones, then the seven thunders. They were proclaimed. All these things come together, but there's one major thing that's going to take place, which is, I believe, will trigger everything. The world will go in all those directions, but one thing will trigger: the release of the two fallen archangels. One of them, and their names or their type is sorcery and seduction. One of them will go and make his headquarters when he's released in Turkey, which is here. One of them will go and make his headquarters in Saudi Arabia. These are all visions we're talking about. And so, you can see, some things are happening. And I believe that there will be a signal. Now, we are counting about 13 years away from 2025. And of course, the scientists are saying the world is warming up. Almost every year is warming up. If it is 2025 or 2026, this is interpretation, nothing to do. This is interpreted prophecy, not the prophecy itself. If it's around 2025, 2026, some major events will happen to make the earth warm up very fast. 3 degrees is a lot. Some cataclysmic event, some situation, some change of weather, it has to be very fast. And added to it, this fact, that if we are near the end, the Jewish people still hasn't built their third temple yet. How in the world you can expect the Jewish people to build their third temple while it's occupied at the moment? There's no way they're going to remove it themselves. A natural event will take place. Something supernatural. Now, during one of the visions, Pastor David also saw America near to Europe. I believe that close to the time of this great event happening, when the two fallen angels are released, a major thing is going to happen in the world. Things are not going to move slowly. Things are going to be expedited to cause, Pastor David in the seven thunders saw Russia increasing its influence until it reached all the old Soviet Union places, right down to Malaysia and Singapore. And among some of the visions that Pastor David saw,
and which I wrote down here. And I saw that Malaysia, Singapore, Laos, and all these countries under the influence of China, and India, Indonesia, all under the influence of Russia. It was like these two become the main powers in the world. How will it happen? Will things suddenly happen like that? And at some point in the seven thunders, Pastor David saw the whole of England disappear under the ocean. Now, for it to disappear, because there's some Scotland's area, Highland also, the earth also has to move, and not just the ocean tides increase. For a moment, hold your place here. We come back to this map. We will show the map of the world. If the waters increase by 18 inches, 100 inches, or 1,000 inches. Because in one of the visions before that, Pastor David saw, and he lives about the fourth floor, right? In Bedok. And he looked out and he saw that there was a flood up to one story. So imagine how high the earth will, the waters will be. That one not just melting of the ice, some cataclysmic event. You know that world events and earthquakes can lower the whole nation into the seabed or rise up into the sea, above the sea. Things are going to happen. Now, we have here, thank you, we just make it clearer here. Can we sort of move this map so they can see it a bit? There's a way to move the direction, yes. A little bit here. Okay. You see some of the maps there. The dark spots, the dark green area, now you cannot differentiate the color. Okay, the darker colors are the higher land, and then you have the greenish area here. You see this area, there are greenish areas. Okay, the greenish areas are the slightly lower land, and there's actually a bluish area, so you can't differentiate from where you are. But basically, a lot of the world. And then we look up at this part here, Shem, just up here to see how many inches was here on the left side. Okay, this is the world if the sea level increased 18 inches. If the sea level increased 100 inches, just click here. Okay, now this one will recalculate. If the world increased 100 inches, okay, you begin to see less and less of the land mass. Singapore and part of Malaysia totally disappeared. And Australia might have lost more of its parts. And then parts of islands all disappeared. And England also gone, almost gone. And then as you click it on this map, you could see more and more of the world. Now, this greenish part is all that is left. But some of the white parts here. All that is left. See how small the countries have become. And this is just water increasing. And just based on present measurement of the heights and the topography of countries. But if there will be an earthquake and things change, the whole continent could shift lower or higher, and like the legendary Atlantis that sank into the ocean, and whatever. So you could have a major earthquake or whatever that can sink entire territories, countries, world events that can happen. And so with that, since it's not so clear, I won't use it too much. But you can see that the world map changes as water level increased even by 18 inches. And a lot of things have disappeared. Now we put aside this map, we bring back the old map, the other one with the prophecy, this map. So this map is still existing as it is, countries. Now what will happen when whole countries disappear or parts of it disappear? When your whole nation doesn't exist geographically anymore, it will be a different world. It will be a different world. And your passports might not be valid anymore. And not only that, money might not be used anymore. So there is some sort of events that is going to take place that will bring the whole world to such an existence that this part, the king of the north, Russia, going to grow strong, and the kings of the east supply to them all those things. So the first closest event that's going to, we're going to impact all of us at once. And think about it, if Bedok is one story high, most of you on the ground floor with expensive property on land, it's all gone. There goes your millions of dollars. And of course, some of you say, oh, good, my apartment's very high. No electricity, got to climb up and down to the second floor. I know. So it will be a different world. So I would suggest, if you're going to buy some property, measure about one story from whatever, seabed, whatever. But so far, the world is going to change. And you saw just now what I read of the prophecy about this area here. But before that happens, the mercy of God gave a revival, as you saw. But some sort of event is going to happen that not only can the world not continue as the number of countries in the world anymore, something is going to happen that will cause a world-changing event. Now, if you study the book of Revelation chapter 17 and 18, it seems to be not just war. In chapter 17 and 18, it will represent that, I know all the usual interpretation, you know, the anti-Catholics that interpret the harlot to be Catholic Church, and people interpreted it to be denominational church, say the come out of them, and all those things. But looking at the seven thunders, it looks like the fall of Babylon symbolized the fall of the most powerful nation in our 20th century. The seven thunders was given to us so we could identify the countries today that exist that did not exist in the time of John the Apostle. If John were to be able to see this vision, he might have identified, oh, there's the United States of America. Right. That he could not, because none of these countries exist in his time. This is 2,000 years ago. America, Australia is 200 years old plus. And it says here, the whole world in chapter 18 mourn Babylon's downfall. And this is during the time of the ten horns. So there's some sort of struggle here. Now, since one of the prophecies says that England, France, and Germany make war with Russia, and then conquer Russia, and then Russia conquer back, since that prophecy has England as one of the nations, then the other part of prophecy, that where England is sunk under the ocean, has not taken place yet. Which means that the war precedes the whole world sinking and the whole world being flooded. So some sort of war, could be economic war, activity war, whatever situation, or troubles that cause some battles. Now, the world might not just come under in one day. There might be several events that take place between from the time of the release of the fallen angels. From that time, God is going to let some things happen. Angels are going to, I mean, it was angels, good are angels that let them go. When the good are angels let the bad go temporarily, they're going to influence everything from world weather to world events, to every situation. I would time the worst to begin, the beginning of sorrows, the worst part of the beginning of sorrows, to begin with the release of the two fallen angels. that something dramatic is going to take place. If it was 2025, 2026, you got another 13 years to enjoy some sort of peace. Say, wow, very short. But when the two, do you think the two fallen angels are going to just do nothing but just hang around in Turkey or hang around somewhere in the Middle East? And have some vacation, say, wow, now release, go tourism. They are going to instigate natural events, world events, and there's going to be a lining of evil powers. We will see all kinds of things happen. We might see earthquakes and all those things happening all over the world, and upheaval. They might not happen all in one day. Although, in Revelation, great Babylon fell in one day. So there's a series of events that weaken it until in one day, one major day. And look at their cry out. As they cry over Babylon in chapter 18. I mean, the world will weep. In verse 15, the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of a torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold, precious stone, pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. You know when that 1 hour is? It says in 1 hour in verse 17, correct? 1 hour. In 1 hour, that's less than one day. And then in chapter 17, you know when the 10 thorns arise? It says here in chapter 17, verse 12. But they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast, before the beast took 3 of them and ruled over all of them. Who is the beast and who are the kings of the north? So we realize that with the rise of the 10, the fall. Same time, 1 hour, 1 hour. But behind it was the beast. They rise with the beast. Who is the beast? Here, we bring all the other parts of the prophecy together. When Pastor David begins to see things happening on this world map here. Of course, the church is already being judged this decade. And you saw Israel one, which I will leave for the meantime. And it says here, the sea has changed. There is one part broken and has sunk into the sea. The western part was broken and has sunk into the sea. That is Israel. See, many things regarding the sea in the seven thunders. It talks about Israel. Okay, I might as well read this part of Israel. And Israel, and this happened after the wars in the lands of the west, the north, and the east. There are wars in that area. And it says, on Israel, the sea has changed. There's one part broken and it sunk into the sea. The western part of Israel. Oh, Israel is so tiny here. Gotta go nearer here. There is Israel, tiny little bit here. The western part, no, Israel is divided into west and east. Actually, now only west. The old Israel got the eastern side, which is where the nation of Jordan is. And here in prophecy, it says, the western part was broken and sunk into the sea. I see the snow melting and warming up, waters flooding over to the east, and they continue to divide among themselves. In other words, he saw, Pastor David saw, that during the time when the west was falling, the lands fail, the water stopped running, there's great hardship when the north becomes. Pastor David saw prosperity increase here. In one of the visions, when he was brought by the archangel there, and he says, when it's 3 degrees warmer, these two fallen angels will be released, and there will be prosperity here 3 times as great. So Russia is going to be very prosperous and rich as it warms up there. And then Pastor David saw
people coming here to work, to look for things. You know, people will go to where prosperity is. And the eastern area, all sending goods and trading. And all here falling off. At the time where the fallen angels are released. And there will be, and this is a strange part, a huge part of Europe came underwater. The western part of Europe all come underwater. They may be gradual occasion. And several events that the water keep more and more and more before a cataclysmic event that changed the whole world politically. And there will be slavery in the western part. And they came from the west in ships. And I asked Pastor David in more detail about slavery, because this is like civilization going backwards. And these are people who sold themselves for food, clothing, shelter, and give themselves to work because they cannot find food, cannot find resources. And so they sold themselves and they travel here and voluntary slaves just to find food, meals, or escape economic hardship. Slavery will come from the West. This is a prophecy. And then, again, I see this remnant. Visit them. Reveal yourself to them. I see, Pastor David says, the Middle East boundaries change. The people of God hiding in the wilderness near where Jordan is. Now, that is where Revelations chapter 12 takes place. The woman, the child, and the dragon. The woman ran to the wilderness. And we have always interpreted the woman as Israel. So, he saw Israel hiding in the wilderness. By this time, the Antichrist has risen. During the rise of the Antichrist, it says here, he saw the mark of the beast. On the right hand, and it was a right thumbprint, and on the forehead, there is no longer any currency needed. I believe that it will be a time when all the flood is reach its fullness. Nations disappear and into under this, because America goes down, these two great powers between the north and the east. And the Antichrist will rule from the north. In the book of Daniel, he is known as the king of the north. And although part of it was fulfilled under Epaphras, part of it, but part of it was never fulfilled. And in type, there could be repeat actions of the abomination of desolation, because Jesus quoted it, so it's not fulfilled yet. And the referred to the king of the north. And here finally, it referred to Gog and Magog, king of the north. And so it somehow has to do with some of these nations. We have identified seven of the ten toes. We know that there will be the nation of England, Germany, and France, because these three make war against Russia in a vision. So we got three. And since the spider was standing where Italy was, we know Italy is counted in. It's one of the great nations to be the ten toes. And since the serpent landed over here, where Spain and Portugal is, it's possibly Spain. And then, because the fallen angel went to Turkey, and it's a very important place where the seven churches are today, Turkey is one of the ten toes. So you have England, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Greece, Turkey. We have identified seven. We still haven't identified three more. But three more will play the ten toes. In time to come, as God revealed, we only give what we know for sure. And when will the ten toes rise in its power? these 10 toes will rise in power with this. So when prosperity happens, when the two fallen angels are released, this area is going to prosper. This area prosper, here will prosper, here will prosper. Correct. Prosperity is spread. And normally the world will prosper. Just like in the past several years, we had some sort of a mini recession. But Australia still continue to be strong because we could sell resources to China. And countries that could still trade with China and sell their goods still could survive some sort of recession. And so we realize that when somewhere prospers, other country can prosper. For some strange reason, when here prospers, here prosper, here prosper, here did not prosper. Here continues war. Here, because of natural disasters. In fact, in the Seven Thunders, Pastor David spoke about the curse coming. Now, when the curse comes, it can turn fertile land into desert. Possibly the places that are desert today were once fertile lands that were cursed. And we know that when sin reached its certain height, God even told the Israelites, the heavens will be as brass. You know, when there's no rain, things begin to dry up. Deserts come easily. You hold back rain for a decade or so, desert forms. We need water, we need rain. Plants need water. So apparently, the curse is going to take place. In fact, you mentioned the land becomes cursed. Some of you say, not fair. Hey, wait a minute. They had their last call. And they had one last revival. And Pastor David saw that during this happening, the brightest light comes on Australia. And revival takes place there. It's the brightest light. Now, then the Brazil, he saw three snakes, was it? And they fight, and one won. And he believes that there will be like gangs that have enough power to rule, militias that will fight among each other under one rule. But before that, I believe, then after that, there will be again flooding. He saw the sea came in and washed, cleansing away the blood. And then after that, there was a revival. So this revival came later than this. Again, the sea coming in. Do you notice how many times the sea keep coming in, sea keep coming in? The whole world is affected by the sea rising. And so the sea came in and then slowly went back. They talk about huge tsunamis. Tsunamis, you know, are caused only by earthquakes. Must be multiple earthquakes that can turn the sea against us. And these places where Pastor David puts a little dove, where revival takes place. And then a lot of people here are going to find refuge in Canada here. Toronto. Where we are building the altar, they're going to find refuge here and there's going to be revival here. And in Seoul, in the Seven Thunders prophecy, Pastor David saw in South Korea, the grounds bursting, breaking up, fires from underground. Pipes broken. Could mean earthquakes, whatever. Judgment taking place. And that's why we're building the altar there. Perhaps the last call to the nation. Now you see the importance of building the altar. Now you begin to see why the biggest altar must be here. This, my friends, when all this comes under the sea, you all are welcome to here. And this is your home. This is your home. This is our land. This is our nation. And this is your home. This is your land. And the interesting thing is that we will have a role in preparing that. The spirit being or archangel of the second category, whom God has sent to be with me, I have two at the moment and one more joining me.
I asked Pastor David about this angel. I got two angels with me and one more third one joining me later. But one of them, I asked Pastor David who he was like. And Pastor David was taken back in time and he saw it's the same one who was with Joseph, the Bible Joseph. The same spirit of wisdom that was on Joseph is with me. And because just as Joseph provided shelter for all the 70 people of the Israelites, and for 400 years they were there before they were brought up, we are to provide shelter for all the body of Christ. When some of these things take place, pre-rapture time, and also this is for post-rapture time, for those who don't make it to the rapture. Those who don't make it to the rapture. And up to now, I believe that the rapture has nothing to do with salvation. Because people still can be saved after the rapture. The gospel is still being preached. So if that is so, and the rapture has nothing to do with salvation, what is the rapture? The rapture is a gift. It is a gift to those who choose to walk close with God today and in holiness. Remember the 10 virgins? 5 didn't make it. And the 5 who didn't make it were waiting for the bridegroom. They had no business waiting for the bridegroom unless they were born again. So I believe they represent Christians who didn't make it to the rapture. And then it was too late, the door was closed. And gnashing of teeth has to do with this tribulation period. And Pastor David saw the mark of the beast. Now, you're interested in what is mark of the beast? In the forehead and on the thumbprint. And as he is prophesying, he was looking at his thumbprint. Because nowadays, we use our thumbprint for everything. In fact, you use it for going in our country. We also have to do it in Australia. We have the electronic arm, we go in, put my thumbprint, and I go straight through. But the mark of the beast has something added to the thumbprint. It's like our thumbprint has all the lines of the of your unique lines, and just one tiny little thing added to one of the lines. Almost indiscernible. Chips and microchips or biochips will become so small. So that when they put the thumbprint, they know the mark is there. And the Bible says, whoever takes the mark is blotted from the book of life. So this message, if it survives the flood, the fire, the drought, and someone have this and hearing this and you are in there, and these things have already taken place and most of us are raptured and you have this, do not take the mark of the beast. You take it, you're blotted out of the book of life. It's better to die and to survive a few more days for some food, clothing, and shelter. And this will be a place for shelter. This will be a place of refuge. You see, the people here can run to here. People here, they can run to here. And I think in Russia, there were certain parts you visited that also has 4 places that is refuge. So God knows where people can run, and there will be some sort of angels looking after you. While the Jews also have their own place to run in the wilderness. And in here you talk about, go to where your scribe is. The scribe is Enoch, where Enoch and Elijah are waiting. The 2 witnesses, Revelation chapter 11. So these are all the details of the 7 thunders that can only be delivered in our time today. Now some of the times, some of the things that are taking place, they are predicted here. Let me read some of these others. I see persecution when those who have fallen, those who have been judged and fallen, I see persecution coming into my church. I see the evil one coming in to divide the church. I see the hearts of the evil ones in the church that will turn like wolves to prey on the innocent. Judge them and remove them. Strengthen those who remain, that they will always walk, to continue to walk by faith and keep themselves holy for the bridegroom. And that was seen in the church. And here's another part on the church. I see the spirit of division is entrenched in the church. Men and women taking sides. Lord, I pray, break this spirit. And it is broken. By the word of God, it's broken this day. The spirit of division is broken. The church will overcome. But Lord, those who persist, remove them. Let their life cease for those who persist to divide the people of God. But I pray, Lord, that those who remain will be a one heart, one mind. That all will see your kingdom and work towards it. That's the bride. By that time, when all these things happening and beginning to happen, you will be asking questions, are you Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or Charismatic, Evangelical? Do you speak with tongues? No. You'll just be asking, do you love Jesus? Are you in the Lord? And you just bind together. And then here's the other one. I see Turkey bringing gifts to Israel. And I see Israel being tempted by the gifts. And so what Pastor David is saying is Turkey plays an important role in the end times. Remember, plays an important role and will be the key figure where, remember, there's the Antichrist and the false prophet. And remember all the sea creatures that came out and people are going to worship. So there's two that rise. These are the two beasts that rise. This is the beast in the north. And this section here will be controlled by the other beast from the sea. That will is in the book of Revelations. And you find here, Revelations chapter 13. There are two beasts. The first beast rise up from the sand, rise up out of the sea in chapter 13 verse 1. Having seven heads, ten horns, and on his horns, ten crowns, on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like a mouth of a lion. The dragon gave his power, his throne, and great authority. This obviously is the Antichrist. And leopard, if you read the book of Daniel, goes back to influence of Greece. And in Pastor David's prophecy, when he saw England fell down, the whole England disappear, Greece became a great power among the 10 nations. And Greece has always been symbolized by the leopard. So in chapter 13 verse 2, when the Antichrist rise, the bear, today Russia, the bear. The Bible is pretty precise in its figures. There's the bear with the leopard. Somehow the two are connected. And then his mouth is like a mouth of a lion because they are given some dominion. And in chapter 4 of Revelations, when you see the four horsemen, the four horsemen are released. And not chapter 4, chapter 6, the four horsemen. And this is during the time of the Antichrist coming forth. When you see the white horse in chapter 6 verse 1 and 2, that first white horse is not Christ. Christ is in chapter 19. That first white horse who pretends to be a white horse is the Antichrist coming like the Messiah. Pretending to be the Messiah, but immediately after that will be conflict on the earth. Verse 3 and 4. So when the two fallen angels are released, you will know. In fact, during this seven thunders prophecy, Pastor David saw, and these are some of the words that he announced. And he says, on November 14, 2012, after the rebuke to the church, he said this, today, the beast is birthed. I see a twin, it is birthed. And on the same night that you prophesy, when you check recently the last week, that was when Israel and Gaza starts their rocket thing. Same night, in fact. Says, I see a twin, it is birthed. But I see the stronger one eating the younger one.
Where they were two, they shall be one. O Israel, my beloved, beware, your enemy has come. It brought destruction upon you. Honor me and I shall protect you. Yet you are a stubborn people. See, your enemy is marching and they're at your gates. Yet you're still feasting ignorant of the danger. So who is this? The beast. This is this section when there is the first beast, that is the tento. The second beast that cover the other parts. Now this is where the Roman Empire generally ruled. And the Roman Empire generally is in two parts. First part is the tento, second part is the Middle East countries, including Israel. But Israel is stand on its own, King of the North remains here, and Roman Empire never came up to here or this level here. So, in this area, so these are the two beasts, these two beasts will become one. But they will be one under the Antichrist and the false prophet. And these two will vie for power, Turkey right in the middle of it. And Turkey plays a role in that. And so, obviously some wars had to be fought for all this to happen. Just like Africa to become 8 countries, some wars had to be fought. So for all this, some wars had to be fought, which is why Revelation chapter 6, after the Antichrist rises, which is after the time of the two angels released, sometime after, we don't know how long how after, we see in chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, you have conflict all over the earth. They're going to stir up wars. Not just rumors of war, real wars going to take place. And then immediately after that, when the third seal was broken, famine. Famine results. And then the fourth seal, death. Millions of people died. Now, just now in the map that I show on the world, I did not show earlier because it was too small for you. But on that map, on the left were figures of how many millions of people will be affected if the world, certain parts are flooded. You put 18 inches, how many millions are affected? 100 inches, how many millions are affected? And it's measured by the millions. Millions of people die. Millions of life affected. Entire nations disappear underwater. Think about it. It's a different world. And in a world of conflict, in a world of famine, in a world of scarcity, this is going to be, remember, 3 times as rich. Going to control the world, rule the world, and when all those things are taking place, it says, no need money anymore. Just need this. That is when it's an opportunist to come in. King of the North. And so Pastor David saw all these things and saw the coming of the beast. And then here he says, I see the beast bringing many other nations. And they will take a piece of you, he refers to Israel. And you will be left with one small piece only. That will be the day when the remnant will cry and seek the Lord. I see such destruction upon you. Where can you run? There's no place to hide. Your enemies will search everywhere, take you out of the caves, out of your homes. They will snatch your children from your hand, dash them to the floor. Your blood will stain the floor, the ground. The land will become red with your blood. Repent and I shall be merciful. And that's what he saw, Israel. And then he saw the serpent coming from the west. And that's when he saw the serpent moving from the west. And that's when the conflict there, part of the conflict, China coming all the kings of the east coming all the way here, eat the serpent's head, trying to come all the way, fight with the 10. Remember, just now I say you fight with the 10, that is also part of the war. So there's internal strife war here, then there's a war between here and here. Two of the dogs died, went back here, so it goes own boundary here. During the fight, this is weakened. And remember, at some point, this fight with Russia, Russia lost, then won again over Germany, England, and France. And that was the king of the north who once was defeated. Wounded, rise again. So apparently, this is going to grow so strong, it dared to challenge Russia. It dared to challenge Russia. Why? Because the fallen angels is here. Then he challenges, and he challenges, and then get defeated. And that's when there's a bit of peace treaty. And then, from there onwards, Russia will control the whole entire part. And this part, together with the false prophet. And finishing out this off, I saw the mark of the beast on the right hand and on the forehead. There's no longer any currency needed. The east shall supply to the north during the time of the Antichrist. But the north shall remain in power. I see division in the north. The Lord sends confusion in their midst. That which is weakest shall be strongest, which includes Greece here. So the identity of Antichrist is still mysterious. And the mark was on the right hand and a thumbprint. The thumbprint was not altered, but something was inserted into the thumbprint mark that differentiates it from a normal thumbprint. It was along one of the lines of the thumbprint, just below the center of the thumbprint contours. The mark of the beast on the forehead was just between the eyebrows. Pastor David saw the thumbprint being used to purchase goods. With the thumbprint placed upon a device that looks like an electronic pad, the size of an small electronic pad, just enough for the thumb to be inserted. And the forehead mark was more like an identification mark to locate where you are. It's a different world. And I saw, Pastor David says, the sky open. Stars falling, burning up parts of the land. It comes down on the north and on the east. There's very little place to run. Remember, those are the book of Revelation, the bowls and all those things start falling. The world is shaken. In many places, the earth opens up and swallows up many people. That could be part of the havoc around the world and whole countries disappear. I mean, how many people will have enough time to run when England sinks? Think about that. So, those of you in England, Christians are there, hear the word of the Lord. Be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And in your prophecy against America, you talk about lampstands will be taken. Lampstands represent church. The witness of the church taken away. And then he says, just after he says, the world is shaking in many places, the earth opens up and swallows up many people, the west is drawn closer. But he says, I see greenery in Africa, Jordan, that's where the Israelites run through, Maraba, and Syria. So there's some parts still green that your people are preserved here. Thank you, Lord, that your people are preserved here. I see the glory shine brightest in Australia. Praise the Lord. Oh, we praise you, O Lord. They shall be the haven, Lord, the refuge for your people. See, Southland of the Holy Ghost. We predestined even before the nation was formed. Oh, praise the Lord. I see olive trees growing in China. Many trees, multitude of olive trees. I praise you, Lord. Let thy spirit fill the people there. Lord, strengthen, Lord. So there will be one revival here. That's why there's the dove here. There will be great revival too in China. And strengthen, Lord, those who hear you. Make them your people, Lord. Make them good leaders, godly leaders, leaders who fear, who do not fear man, but only fear you. I see children preaching the gospel. I see boldness in the young ones. They are marching in one to you. Oh, praise the Lord. They're marching like army. Praise your name. Strengthen them. That's why we're building an altar here. Now you understand why we're building the altars around the world. Now you look at the altar to be built in Canada, Toronto. Do you understand now? Phase 2 and phase 3. That we're not doing something just for simple show or ceremony. This is a release of some sort of presence. In fact, when we were building the second altar in KL, in Muar, when we were in KL, the archangel codenamed Shama, who has millions of angels under him, I mean, he has 70 generals, each general has a million angels, then he got 12 other archangels, and you know, uncomfortable millions. He released millions of angels out of every, how many people? Half. 10 people, 5 you saw were angels. Every 5 people there's, every 10 people you got 5 angels walking on the street. And they continue to be there while we were in Mua and Mount Ophir building the altar. They only left when we left. Finish the altar. And the prayer walk is important, which is why you need to fast 3 days before you walk. But it is the building altar that finally releases the angels to do what they want and need to do. So your role in building altars is very important. And although we were a small group, I think about 50, was it? About 50, the archangel released millions of angels. All they needed was us as a token to go for, to release permission for them to go by the millions. We will be followed by millions of angels everywhere where we build altars. Remember that. Do not take your task lightly. Do not take phase 2 and phase 3 lightly. The little thing that you do release permission in the spiritual world. And think about it. What you do is important to what's going to happen for God's people before the rapture and after the rapture. Vitally important to release whatever spiritual things need to be done. And now you understand why the archangel instructed and say, when you build your altar in Australia, use big stones. Make it the biggest altar. Wow. So young man, biggest altar. And the place you're going are big stones. It's going to be the size that even Abraham would be proud of. Praise the Lord. We have a job to do. And these are the end times. We are in the end times. Your gold, your silver, your fixed deposits, your properties in some of these countries, gone. Because be faithful and be good stewards where you are. Please remember that in this prophecy here, gold turned to dust, silver turned to lead, even money became useless. When all these things start happening, currency is backed up by countries. What happened if entire country disappear under the sea? Who is backing up the currency? So understand that we are living in the end times. I know that the body of Christ has received many false messages. This is the end, this is the end, the end. We hear so many cry wolf, until finally there's a wolf at the door and a real prophet is crying wolf. Join with the apostle who say, yes, there's danger out there. And people say, we heard that before. This is the time, this is now the real thing. We are working with archangels. We are working with things that we never worked before. Never before in the history of Christianity has this revelation been revealed. The seven thunders is our privilege to receive it, to digest it, and to continue to walk in it. These are the major summaries of the seven thunders that have been released. It all has to do with this end time message. We have identified 7 of the 10 toes for you. We have identified the symbol of the harlot crashing. We identify the kings of the east, all this swallowed up. You know, Japan, Korea, Malaysia, Singapore, all swallowed up by Greater China. And Africa, all swallowed up under 8 countries, with South Africa being the biggest. Russia growing, extending its border until the king of the north and the king of the east decided to partition the world to themselves, because there's no one controlling them anymore. Plus, the release of the two fallen archangels and all this. Remember that during the seven thunder prophecy, there's no mention about the release of the four fallen archangels yet. These are all found in the book of Revelation. So some parts of this prophecy merge into the end times. But then even our theology is subject to being reviewed. How sure are you that you're pre-tribulation? Just to frighten you a bit. And how sure are you of pre-tribulation? How about mid-tribulation view? Right. But finally, Christ will come in Revelation 19 when we all go. But the good news is, even for those of you in the tribulation, there is some haven created. In case this message did not get burned out in some of the flood of fire that come. But still, there is a possibility of the rapture for those who walk close with God, taken up in the Lord. And it is important for us to know the times that we live in are crucial, necessary. And you see our part now in putting the six altars here and the seven altars here in their place. We have a part to mark out those areas, because it is our privilege, it is our call to do so, to be part of this revival. Don't let small things affect you. Keep the vision. Keep the focus. And run with the race that God has made. And in this all-night prayer, having delivered this, now you know it is really time to intercede. And when you intercede tonight, intercede for some of these places that you hear about, things that you pray about. And intercede and pray for your own lives, what you will do, where you will be, and be faithful to what God wants you to do, understanding that time is measured in decades. We don't have the luxury of 100 years. Time is now very, very short. And if you ask yourself, if we are the generation that is about 20, 30 years away from Jesus coming, what will it be like? It will be exactly like what you're experiencing now, where half of Christianity is still busy about superficial things. And a great portion of them are not hungry for the word, not hungry for prayer, not hungry for God. But yet, there will be a remnant who will seek God, love God. May you be the remnant. And to those of you living in all the various places and countries who are hearing this message, do not despair. The angels of God look after those who are righteous and who are holy. Live a holy life. Go to where God wants you to go. Be where God wants you to be. And you could be a young man living a life today and might be around when England falls into the sea, as in this prophecy. But before it comes, God will show it to you and you will know where to go. Be where God wants you to be. It is a time where we really need to hear God's voice. Pray. Live righteous life. Holy life. It is a world where you cannot be mediocre anymore. It is a world where you cannot sit on the fence anymore. It's a world where you cannot take it easy anymore. There's a new world coming when you have to choose whether you're going to sell your soul and your salvation for a piece of bread, for some money or some goods. Because when the mark of the beast comes, all food, clothing and shelter will need the mark of the beast. Think about what you're doing with your lives. Think about what you're doing with your money. Think about what you're doing with your time. Are you using it wisely the way God wants you? What would you do if you knew Jesus was coming in the next 30 odd years? How will you rearrange your life? Where will you be? What will you do? Think about that. And then ask the Lord to lead and guide you to do the right thing in your life. By all means, be responsible, be faithful, care for your loved ones, be responsible to take care of your loved ones, and continue being good steward, work hard where you are. Don't move, change out of panic, but do things as the Lord wants you, the fullness of time. Praise God. Let's all rise together and let's sing. We ask Melchizedek and sing that song, "This Is Our Land."